helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. My wife loves calendars. They are all over the house. There's even one in our bathroom that I look at, well, most mornings, and I'm frequently amazed by the number of holidays listed. Yes, some of those holidays are for other nations, like Boxing Day or Anzac Day. Others are days of recognition, like the resolutions that just passed the U.S. Senate designating National Water Week and World Quantum Day, even Rare Disease Day. But when I looked at the calendar today, April 19th, 2024, you know what I found? Nothing. No holiday or remembrance for one of the most important days in American history, the battles of Lexington and Concord. So today, we the people should remember this day in our history and look at how what we may learn can impact our lives today. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution to teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me today. Yes, it is Lexington, Battle of Lexington and Concord Day. I know celebrating battles may seem odd, but there's a lot we can learn, not just from the battle, but from what led up to it. Let's remember, this is the first shooting battle of our War of Independence. April 19th, 1775, the shot heard round the world. You know, what most Americans learned, myself included, we learned about Lexington and Concord, not from so much from history books, but from a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. "Listen, my children, and you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere." Okay, that poem is full of, we'll call it poetic license, right? It's not real history, but tell me, how many of you remember "One If by Land and Two If by Sea," or Paul Revere's cries of "The British are coming, the British are coming"? It's all there, and the question is, well, do we remember why these battles were fought? Do you remember what they were fought for? And maybe what we can learn for the 21st century America from our 18th century American colonists. So before the battle, let's set the stage. Right? Before the battle, there were things that led up to this. Starting around 1764, the British Parliament enacted numerous taxes upon the colonists. See, they had recently fought the French and Indian War, and, well, they were feeling a little depleted. You could say their budgets weren't balanced. They were looking for ways to, well, continue to tax the colonists. Maybe they thought they were rich. I don't know. In any case, we had the Sugar Act, the Stamp Act, the Townshend Acts. And you can understand, this didn't go over real well in the colonists. The cry of "no taxation without representation" led to the Boston Tea Party. Shortly thereafter, the British Parliament declared Massachusetts to be in open rebellion because of all the complaining. Oh, you mean they're actually considering that Massachusetts may be starting an insurrection for complaining about these taxes and other acts? See, you also have to remember they had what they called the Intolerable Acts, creating a bunch of agencies and offices to, well, basically to continue to collect taxes from the colonists and to destroy their rights. Now, among these acts, the King of Great Britain looked at Massachusetts and said, "You know what? We're going to shut down Boston Harbor. We're basically until Massachusetts stops us, until they make whatever some restitution for the Boston Tea Party, we're going to shut them down." The king, and of course, we never would have had something like this, like, well, if you don't put on a mask or take a shot, you're not going to be able to do business. We have an emergency. All you small businesses, too bad. We'll keep the big businesses alive. No, we don't know that. Then the King George in abolished the charter of the colony, the charter that started in 1691. He replaced local elected officials with ones appointed from London. He increased the military powers of the newly appointed royal governor of Massachusetts, Thomas Gage. He even went so far as forbidding town meetings without approval. Almost like the president is basically abolishing the Constitution of the United States and the constitutions of each of our states, looking to replace our local governments with a bunch of elected or not unelected appointed bureaucrats out of Washington D.C. making all the laws and all the rules, militarizing our law enforcement, and giving them additional powers to come out and attack the American people, even calling certain gatherings as groups domestic violent extremists simply because they believe things like, the Constitution, they're anti-abortion, they're anti-LGBT. Heck, even if they're Christian, if you happen to be a traditionalist Roman Catholic American, you like a Latin mass, you're labeled as a potential domestic violent extremist. You know, more and more, does this sound familiar to anyone? Then King George allowed British officials to charge people with capital offenses and that are charged with capital offenses to go to England or to another colony for trial. You know, get them away from those upstart colonists that might sit on a jury. Lastly, he allowed British troops to dwell in the homes of colonists without their consent. So all of this kind of pissed the people off. The colonists were not happy. And into this cauldron of discontent, of intolerable acts, of government oppression, of the suppression of rights, of overturning the rule of law, well, like I said, the colonists were getting a little frustrated. You might even say they were getting uppity. Now, Mr. Gage, right, he's the royal governor of Massachusetts, was corresponding with Lord Dartmouth back in London. And during their correspondence, at one point, Mr. Dartmouth suggested Mr. Gage have troops seize the colonist weapons. If memory serves, Dartmouth basically said, listen, if they don't have guns, they can't fight. So let's start confiscating their weapons. That'll help keep the colonists from rising up against our acts. Now that sounds familiar to me. So again, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, a young boy could walk into a hardware store, buy a box of 22 long rifle shells for his gun and go out squirrel hunting without having to have 47 layers of government approval. When weapons that are designed for people to use for self-defense were suddenly declared weapons of war, even though they were never used in a war. When magazine restrictions were put in place, when you know, I remember all of these. All attempts to, if not confiscate, although there was a lot of confiscation. Remember, these buyback programs aren't really buyback programs. They're actually compensated confiscation programs. Yeah, I remember those. So in response to this idea from Lord Dartmouth, General Gage ordered troops to seize the powder house in Concord. Now, on April 18, 1775, a physician and member of the Sons of Liberty, one Joseph Warren, learned about these orders, and he dispatched Paul Revere and William Dawes to alert the residents. They were joined by a third gentleman, but I don't remember his name. But they went to warn the people of Concord, and along the way, they would let people know what was going on, because the troops would be passing through these towns. Now, before I go on, I want to take a closer look at how this would apply today, what this might impact on our lives today. For example, you know this temporary amnesty program You know, the one where President Biden's Department of Homeland Security basically turned around and said, "Hey, sure, you just, you know, we're going to give you amnesty, even though you don't qualify for amnesty under the law. We're going to extend temporary amnesty to you just because, well, for whatever reason, he wants to flood the country with illegal aliens." Well, recently, the Department of Homeland Security has expanded this program to include an additional 1.2 million foreign nationals from other countries. Let's see, they redesignated Ethiopia. So if you're here from Ethiopia, you get automatic temporary amnesty. And why? Oh, we see there's droughts, there's floods, there's a humanitarian problem in Ethiopia. Why are you importing it here? You know, it's almost like King Biden thinks he can just, well, we'll just flout the law. See, according to the law that created this temporary amnesty, you have to be have a I don't know if it's provable or demonstrable threat to your life from political persecution, religious persecution, not from a drought. See, this is suspending the rule of law because the president wants to make a, I believe, a political statement. Does that sound close to some of the intolerable acts? Or what about the Department of Labor coming up with new rules, basically saying the Department of Labor gets to decide whether you are an employee or a freelancer? The Department of Labor is claiming authority to dictate to you your relationship with a coworker, with whether it may be an employee, it may be a customer. The Department of Labor says we're going to decide for you because, well, we just think you're too stupid to do this yourself. Imagine you're an Uber driver or DoorDash driver. Imagine you're a freelance artist, maybe a photographer or a an author. And now the Department of Labor says, no, you're not one anymore. You have to, you're an employee because we say so. Which, of course, means that the Department of Labor claims all sorts of rules and regulations. They're going to come into your company, they're going to come into you, your employment relationship, and dictate how things are going without your consent. Okay, it's not exactly requiring the military to camp in your property, but it certainly is taking over your property. You don't have a right to decide for yourself. We will decide for you. Look at how well that's worked in California. Doesn't matter. See, if we really look at it, the issues that were in place leading to the battles of Lexington and Concord may be different in details, but they're not all that different in the overall structure to what was leading up to the battles of Lexington and Concord. This idea that a king 3,000 miles away, yes, we call him president, but he acts like a king, he'll just make up rules, he'll make up laws, he'll suspend the Constitution and the laws of the United States, he'll suspend the constitutions of our states just to get what he wants. Whether it's for a political advantage or just because he thinks he knows better than everybody else how things should be done. And really, with the way they've been coming after the ATF has been coming after guns, you know, now the ATF simply wants to say, hey, if you even talk about selling a gun, you need to get a license from us in order to do so. And of course, that not only requires all sorts of paperwork and regulations, you do realize that it also, they claim it subverts your Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches wherever you happen to house your quote unquote federal firearms licensee. If you're a collector and you keep your collection in your home and you sell a handful of guns a year as you update your collection, ATF not only wants to make you a federal firearms licensee, that they claim the authority to enter your home unannounced to search because it's the location of your federal firearms license. Now, before I get into the details of the battle itself, I need to take a break. But I want to remind you, you know, if you want to learn more about this type of stuff, if you want to be like one of the Minutemen we're going to talk about, check out the Patriot Program a Constitution study. Website's constitutionstudy.com/patriots. You can find it on the menu at the homepage. But it's a program designed for people who really want to engage in becoming a patriot. It's not designed to replace whatever you're doing already. You know, I'm not trying to replace any other group. I'm trying to give you tools so that whatever you're interested in, you can do better. It's an invitation-only program, so you have to go through the boot camp, which is free. You'll find the details at the Patriots page. And then once you've passed that, you'll get an invitation to join us. We're still building some of the infrastructure. We've got what they call the Constitution Scholars. People we're learning, we're reading, we're studying, we're trying to glean more out of what the Constitution says and how we can apply it to our lives today. We've got the Committees of Correspondence, where we're setting up structures where not only can the different individuals and groups communicate with each other, but we can do so even if they try to censor us. So if you have an event going on, you can let other people know. If there's an issue going on in your county or your state, you can let other patriots know what's going on, not depending on the corporate media to do it for you. Last and certainly not least are my Minutemen, the men and women that are studied and prepared to step in and help at a moment's notice. Whether it simply be joining a call to provide some advice or showing up at a Capitol to help support a movement or a piece of legislation or defend against infringements on our rights. That's what the Patriots program is about. It's something I think you might be interested in. So again, please go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots, find out more, take the boot camp, and if nothing else, take the boot camp. It's free and you'll learn how to defend your rights. Now that, like you, sometimes leaves you awake at night because you're thinking about everything that's going on. Well, guess what? There's a great way to get the sleep that you need without the hormones or other chemicals that can disrupt your body. It's the Wellness Company's Restful Sleep Formula. It's full of natural ingredients designed to calm your mind and reduce stress so you can get more and a better night's sleep. You don't have to worry about hormones or anything like that. Backed by documented research, vetted by the chief medical board of the Wellness Company, Restful Sleep works. I use it myself. As an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your products and your first month of membership if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So please check them out. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop, find the Restful Sleep ad, click on it, check it out, put your order together. Be sure to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your products and off your first month of membership.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms. But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research. HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're remembering the battles of Lexington and Concord. Some, was it 249 years ago today, April 19th, 1775. When we last left our story, Paul Revere and William Dawes had been dispatched to Concord to let them know the British were coming. And along the way, they were letting the different towns know so they could prepare. Now, as that word spread through the colony, 77 members of the Massachusetts militia, commanded by one Captain John Parker, gathered on Lexington Green. Now picture this. It's dawn, April 19, 1775. You and 76 other men, if you're not a man, well, okay, women weren't in the militia then, but imagine you're on Lexington Green, and in the distance you hear marching. The British are coming. Some 700 redcoats have appeared, and they come and stop just beyond your formation. The British major calls out, ordering you to lay down your arms and disperse. Your commander, Captain Parker, issues his orders. Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here. We've heard these stories, but imagine you're there. Now, we don't know who actually shot first, but once that first shot was fired, volleys came from both sides. When the smoke cleared, 8 of your militiamen were dead. 9 were wounded, along with a single redcoat. You didn't stop the British. The British continued their march onto Concord. Of course, they search Concord looking for these arms, and they can't find them because they'd already been moved. They've been hidden for safekeeping. But the word has spread. 2,000 militiamen arrive in the area. Now, there was a brief engagement at Concord's North Bridge, but things quickly settled down. Then after 4 hours after they arrived, the British troops begin their march back to Boston, some 18 miles away. But do you remember those 2,000 militiamen that showed up? They harassed the British column all the way back to Boston. It was the first, not just rebellion against the king, it was the first battle. It was the first time that arms were used to defend themselves. So why should we remember these battles? Yes, they were the beginning of the War of Independence, the actual shooting war for independence. But there's more we can learn. Remember, those 700 redcoats were there to confiscate Concord's ammunition, to confiscate the powder in the powder house. Aren't our governors doing the same thing today? Telling us what ammunition we can and cannot have, telling us what weapons we will be allowed to use and what we can use them for, that we need to get their permission. It reminds me of a statement made by Patrick Henry during the Virginia ratification debate. He asked, "Are we at last brought to such a humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our own defense?" Remember that the next time you hear some politician claim the authority to take away your arms, the authority to tell you to infringe on your right to keep and bear arms, tell you where and when you can own a gun, carry a gun, use a gun, especially for your own defense. The next time you hear the clip of Beto O'Rourke saying, "Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. Or when remembering Barack Obama says, I don't believe people should be able to own guns. Remember the battles of Lexington and Concord. That is exactly why we fought. When the late Senator Dianne Feinstein said, if I could have gotten an outright ban, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn in your guns, I would have. Doesn't that sound like the orders given to the British column, the British or the Redcoats, the major? Turn in your weapons and turn in your, in this case, your ammunition. See, we started shooting when a corrupt government came after our guns. Ladies and gentlemen, there are multiple corrupt governments violating the Constitution and coming after your guns today. Even though what they're doing is criminal, it violates the law. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You have an unalienable right to keep and bear arms. And whenever the government attempts to infringe on that, they are committing a crime. And we're certainly not one of the 77 men that showed up at Lexington Green. We're certainly not part of the 2,000 that harassed the British all the way back. But Paul, the 77 militiamen at Lexington Green, they didn't stop the British. No, they didn't. You know what they did do? They slowed them down. They gave Concord more time to hide their weapons. You see, you don't have to win every battle to make a difference. You don't have to get everything you wanted or everything you expected to consider the battle effective. If not an outright victory, at least effective. There are too many people today that are either unwilling to move because they don't think they can win. They're the rest of the town of Lexington who did not show up at the green because they didn't think they could win. Or they thought it was right for the government to come confiscate the arms of their neighbor. And after all, they're not coming after our arms. They're the rest of the town that stood back while 77 brave men stood before 700. And not even to protect their own rights, to protect the rights of their neighbor. Yet this day, it's not celebrated, it's not recognized, it's barely even remembered in this country. Why is that? Well, I suppose the cynical part of me looks at it and said, well, since 90% of the American people are taught in government schools, why would the government teach you of the time the people stood up against the government and won? That's what happened. The British were told to confiscate the powder in Concord. They didn't, in part because the militia in Lexington slowed them down, giving the people in Concord a chance to more time to hide their weapons, because people showed up from neighboring towns in order to help Concord defend themselves against this invasion by their own government, to harass them as they retreated, to let them know they would not be welcome in their tyranny here anymore. The shot heard round the world. When I was in school, we were taught how, you know, we focused on the shot heard round the world, the first shot fought in the War of Independence. We spent no time that I remember on the reason why that shot was fired, on what the ordinary men and women did to defend their rights. This was not the National Guard. This was not even the State Guard. These were ordinary men and women that gathered to form a militia to defend themselves and their neighbors and their rights. And it reminds me a lot of another battle. Many, many, many decades later, I wrote about it. It's called the Battle of Athens, Tennessee. It happened in 1944 when veterans were coming back from the war, from World War II in Europe, and they found their county was run by a corrupt sheriff and a corrupt county officials that were not only robbing the people blind, but tampering with the elections. Oh, they tampered with the elections? Oh, my word. Yes. Read the article. I'll put a link in the show page. There's actually evidence of county deputies not only denying people the right to vote, but actually shooting them for attempting to do so, of allowing people to vote illegally, people who were underage, people who hadn't fulfilled the legal requirements, being allowed to vote. And when people started complaining, well, you know what? Many of the deputies simply grabbed the ballot box and handed it off to be protected from someone actually finding out what was going on. When these veterans who are now running for office to oppose the corrupt officials saw that the election was being stolen, do you know what they did? They called a lawyer and threatened to sue. No, they didn't do that. They gathered at the county courthouse to have a protest and broke in and had an insurrection. No, they didn't do that either. You know what they did do? They went to the armory. They armed themselves. And they actually fought a gun battle in the streets of Athens, Tennessee, outside of the jail, where the sheriff and a couple of people from the county, I think it was maybe one or two people from the county election board, were not only illegally counting the votes, there's now evidence that they were falsifying the results. So when they finally left, when the sheriff and the board of electors member finally left and the veterans got in, they found their false counting slips. They found the truth. And they only found the truth because they were willing to not only stand up for their rights, but to do so with arms. The very arms so many of our governments want to take away from us. Even here in Tennessee, our Constitution says that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, except that the government can regulate the carrying of it, which, by the way, is itself unconstitutional because it violates the Constitution of the United States, which is the supreme law of the land. And most Americans sit back and do nothing. I don't know how many people lived in and around Lexington, Massachusetts in April of 1775. I know 77 men showed up. I don't know how many of the locals from Concord showed up, but I know from their neighboring towns, 2,000 showed up, and they changed the course of history, at least the history of this continent, because they were willing to stand and defend their rights and the rights of their neighbors. Most Americans won't even bother getting off their butt and voting. Oh, sure, we may get 50 to 60% who vote in a presidential election, but what about the rest of them? What about the elections for your state legislature, your governor, your district attorney, or attorney general, I should say? What about the vote for your district attorney, for your county legislature, for your city council, for your mayors? We at least get up and off your backside and do something? Ask yourself, do you want a sheriff and a county commissioner like those that they had in Athens, Tennessee in 1944? Or do you want men and women like those who are willing to show up at the Green in Lexington? They are willing to show up at Concord when their neighbors were in need. This is a day every American should remember. And if the government won't recognize it, and the calendars won't recognize it, let we the people recognize it. Because ultimately that's the important part. Not that it appears on a calendar or in some piece of legislation somewhere. That you and I and the rest of the American people remember this day. Remember why it came about. Remember what we learned from it. And then look at our lives today and say, are we really in any better shape Maybe it's about time we start standing up to our government. Hopefully they'll learn the lesson that we don't need to escalate to firearms. But if we won't stand up and at least say something, why should we expect the government to actually protect our rights if we won't protect them for ourselves? Now, if you'd like some help, some ideas of how you may expand and improve your understanding of the Constitution and your rights and how to defend and assert them, well, that's why I built the Constitution Study Planning Wizard. Go to constitutionstudy.com/wizard. It's simple. You give me your name and your email address, and then you answer a few questions. When did you last read the Constitution? How difficult was it? What goals do you have? What plans would you like? And the system will look at them and begin generating ideas. It'll send you emails with things you may want to try, you may want to consider. The wizard is free. Many of the ideas that come out of it are free. It's certainly worth it. If you're looking to improve your study, maybe kick it into gear in remembrance of the battles of Lexington and Concord, constitutionstudy.com/wizard is a great place to start. Another thing we can do, we talk a lot about government and what it does. You know, sometimes it's actually businesses that are destroying our rights, either by the policies they use against us or by supporting organizations that are out to destroy our rights. Well, guess what? You have a choice. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider that shares our values, yours and mine. They offer the very best 4G and 5G coverage nationwide. They're on all the networks that you currently use. And best of all, they have a 100% U.S.-based customer support. Use your cell phone to stand against those that are attacking our rights, that would disarm us, that would take away our right to cripple our right to vote, to live our lives as we see fit. Stand with those who want to make America great again and restore the United States to the land of the free by being the home of the brave. You can get discounts for veterans and first responders, and if you have multiple lines. Find it all the details at patriotmobile.com/constitution, and be sure to use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. Again, go to patriotmobile.com/constitution to find the plan that's right for you, and use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're remembering the battles of Lexington and Concord. We spent a fair amount of time on that, and I hope you learned something. I know I learned a little bit as I was researching that and getting the information together. I guess mostly what I was reminded of is our need to be willing to defend ourselves. As Patrick Henry put it, have we become so vile, so useless that we cannot be trusted to defend ourselves? This reminded me of an incident a couple of months ago. There's a place I visited. I went, it was about once a month. There was a group of us that met there, and we would just discuss things that are going on in the county and whatnot. And then a couple of months ago, they put that dreaded red circle and slash sign, you know, the one that goes over a firearm. And here in the state of Tennessee, it's actually a state crime to walk past that sign armed. And I got thinking about it, going, wow, you really think you're protecting us when you're not, but really, you don't think I someone like me can be trusted to protect myself in your presence, by the same extension, protecting others. But I wanted to look a little different, because I want to see, you know, when I look at King George and the British government in the late 18th century, I'm reminded a lot of what's going on here today. Now, the details are not exactly the same, but there is a lot of similarities in the concepts behind things. Take, for example, you know, Joe Biden, as I already pointed out, Joe Biden, his policy seems to flood the United States with illegal aliens, people here coming here illegally. You know, they created the CBP One app to allow people they're actually flying people from other countries that have asked for asylum. They don't legally meet the requirements of asylum, but the Biden administration is flying them into the United States. And of course, when cities start saying, well, we'll be sanctuary cities, right? We'll provide food and shelter. We won't cooperate with the feds to deport people that are legally should be deported. I warned you. I warned people this is going to happen. I said, these places are going to be overrun and they're going to start begging for money. Sure enough, man, Chicago, California, New York City, New York State, they all started begging for money. Well, the Department of Homeland Security is distributing roughly $300 million to these sanctuary cities to provide for services like shelter and food to people who are here illegally. These are illegal aliens. They call them illegal migrants. They're not. They're illegal aliens. They illegally cross the border with the assistance of the federal government. They went to these cities because these cities said, you know, we're going to ignore the law. We'll protect you. We will shelter you from the consequences of your criminal activity. And now the federal government is not only paying to bring them in, they're paying to house and feed them. Now, listen, I don't want people starving. I want people to have shelter. But if you are one of these sanctuary cities that have said, here, come here, we don't care about the law, we don't care about your ability to work, we don't care, just come and we'll take care of you. Well, that's your fault. That's not my fault that you encourage people to come to your locale. Your citizens should pay for it. Why are you asking the rest of the American people to pay for your criminal activity? Oh, that's why. Because you don't want to suffer the consequences of your bad decisions. So in another act of a conspiracy to violate America's the federal immigration law, we now have the Department of Homeland Security, which is supposed to be enforcing these laws. We have them conspiring to further bypass them. Because guess what? These cities, these sanctuary cities, if you pay them to house illegal aliens, they're going to keep housing illegal aliens. This really should not be a surprise to anyone. I have a hard time believing that these budgetary shortfalls, all this money, I have a hard time believing it's an accident. Because if you couldn't figure out this was coming, I'm sorry, you're either so, I don't know if the answer is ignorant or foolish, but really, should you be trusted making any decisions? And again, once again, you have the American people paying for the mistakes of cities and counties, which is exactly what the federalist system was designed to prevent. The idea was, listen, you know, you try that. Hey, be my guest. I didn't say they couldn't become sanctuary cities. I didn't say that they couldn't do this. I said they have to pay for it. And now when it gets hard, they expect us to pay for it. You know, kind of like a spoiled child who, you know, takes on some responsibility and then realizes they can't afford it and then expects mom and dad to bail them out. Yeah, that's pretty much what we have going on here. Only what we have is the Biden administration conspiring to encourage the criminal activity that these cities and states have, that these cities have promulgated. And that's not all. See, why is the federal government doing this? Do you really think they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart? No. They're trying to bribe people with their own money in order to get more votes. The same way that the federal government spent they issued a $1.2 million grant to three counties covering the Charleston, South Carolina area to do a study in creating some sort of rapid transit using buses. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just another bribe. Right? There is nothing in the Constitution of the United States that authorizes the federal government to get involved with local public transit. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says Congress can collect money to pay the debts of the United States to provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, capital U, capital S, proper noun. Right? The United States, not the individual states, not the several states, the United States. So this is embezzlement. This is the federal government embezzling money from the American people in order to bribe the people of Charleston, South Carolina to support the current party in office. It's as plain and simple as that. And I use those words. I'm done with the euphemisms. I'm done with playing games. This is the federal government bribing Charleston, and this is Charleston accepting a bribe. Charleston, these three counties, have accepted a bribe from the United States. Now, I wonder if the people of Charleston are happy with the idea that their elected officials take bribes. I mean, if they'll take bribes from the United States, where else will they take bribes from? It's not a question of there's the old joke about the guy who makes an offer to a lady and then later says, well, offers the lady $1 million to spend the night with him. They're on an airplane. The airplane comes in to land. He says, listen, I don't have $1 million. Will you spend the night with me for $100? And the lady says, well, what kind of lady do you think I am? I said, we know what kind of lady you are. Now we're negotiating price. I know what kind of city Charleston, South Carolina is. I know what kind of counties they are. The only question is, will we negotiate the price? You've sold your soul. You've sold the rights of your citizens for these bribes. The question is, what's the price? All right, I have one more item here, and this is It is a bit of a detour, but I want you to think about this for a second. So Speaker Johnson recently announced a bill that's being introduced into the U.S. House. This is actually a press conference that was posted to Twitter.
You need to understand something really important about federal law. Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited, believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen. The federal voter registration form just has a check a box, and if you do that, you're good. The states can't allow it. We think that's a serious problem. And so what we're going to do is the House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections.
Okay, actually, that was X, right? Not Twitter anymore. But so you listen to this. Okay, a law that says that you have to be a citizen to vote, to register to vote. And at first blush, that sounds like a great idea. But back up a little bit. I want you to consider this. First of all, the Federal Voting Act, with the Motor Voter Law, it legally doesn't exist. It's void because it's a violation of the Constitution. See, voting, people, citizens voting, people voting is not a power delegated to the United States. Those are state elections. Yes, elections for U.S. House and U.S. Senate are state elections. Elections for electors for president are state elections. The states decide. The states establish the process, and the Motor Voter Law, which has been has been disastrous to our voter rolls, is unconstitutional, illegal, and void. So when Mr. Johnson says the states are not allowed to, oh, they're allowed to, if they only had the backbone to realize that the federal government doesn't have the authority to do this. Now, to modify an illegal law to say, yeah, you really need to prove you're a citizen to be able to be registered for citizen, that's better than what we have now, but you're still dealing with an unconstitutional and therefore void law. And by the word void, those aren't my words. Read Federalist 78, Alexander Hamilton. Look at the Supreme Court cases, Marbury versus Madison, Ex parte Siebold, Norton v. Shelby County. All of them state that an act contrary to the Constitution is void, empty, meaningless, as if it never happened. The problem here is that all the states sat back and said, oh, the federal government's going to give us money for this, so we'll take the bribe. And that really is the state of America today. The federal government works by bribery. It is corrupt. It is illegal in much of what it does. And we seem to spend all of our time focusing on shuffling the deck chairs while the country goes down. Because we're focusing on donkeys versus elephants. My question to Mr. Johnson is, hey, this law is unconstitutional. How about you just repeal it? How about you just get rid of it? Just say, no, we made a mistake. Nope, he won't do that. Now, I haven't had the chance to ask him. By the way, Mr. Johnson, if you hear about this, contact me. I'd be more than happy to explain to you just how unconstitutional the Motor Voter Law is. How about we get rid of it and let the states decide? You mean let the states actually be states? Inconceivable. But it's the same logic they use. It says, well, it's for the good of everyone. So let's ignore the Constitution. Let's throw it out the window because it's what we think is right. You know, kind of like the other day I was talking about the memo from the Biden Office of Management and Budget, talking about how, you know, actually following the Constitution is a threat to national security. They don't exactly use those words, but that's the gist of what they say. And you know what? How safe are your rights in a nation that says, well, we think we need to protect you, so we'll throw your rights out the window, because we think we know better. or we'll just throw the law out the window because we want to register more people. Or we'll throw the Constitution out the window so that we can bribe these people with some money to get them to vote for us, whether that be by doing studies on high-speed travel or encouraging them to continue to be sanctuary cities, breaking federal law and doing so. The federal government's corrupt. But it's corrupt because we put corrupt people in place. How can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. Almost everybody gives you a variation of that. But they never stop to think, we are the ones hiring. We know they're lying to us. We know they are evil, criminal, and corrupt. Yet we not only do we hire them, the ones that are the most evil, corrupt, and liar, best liars are the ones we bring back and hire over and over and over again. As James Garfield said at this nation's centennial, now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature. Ladies and gentlemen, Congress is evil, reckless, and corrupt. They're ignorant because we tolerated it. The reason we don't have intelligent, brave, and pure people in Congress is because we refused to hire them. We are more worried about donkeys and elephants. We are more worried about the bribes we are going to receive than the people we actually sent to Congress. So if we end up with another Battle of Lexington or something similar, it won't be because the federal government made it happen. It's because we, the people, hired those in the federal government that brought these instances to bear. Don't forget the Constitution Study is available every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. It's also available on podcasts. You can use your favorite podcast app. The episodes do come out a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. But do me a favor, subscribe to the podcast. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews, especially on Apple. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. But please, share them. Share them with friends. Share them with family. Because if we wish to live in the land of the free, if we wish to enjoy the blessings of liberty, we must share them with everyone from sea to shining sea.